One of mine and Whitney's favorite pastimes on Memorial Day weekend is to watch the TV show Band of Brothers. Has anyone else ever watched Band of Brothers? We have like three dudes. Nice. if you've never watched it before, it follows the exploits of Easy Company of the 101st Airborne Division as they are deployed to the Western Theater during World War II. And before each episode of the show, the soldiers who are portrayed, the actual soldiers who fought in those battles that are portrayed in the show, they're briefly interviewed about their time in the war. And let me tell you, it is extremely hard not to want to weep when you see these dudes breaking down, thinking about the losses that they incurred as they were gone in the theater, as they recount tales of losing their friends as they go throughout this campaign. Watching these men recount some of the hardest days of their lives is tough, but it's important. Without passing on these memories down to us, especially those in the States, who are their beneficiaries of these deeds that they have done, they will eventually become lost in time if we don't remember them. And as we see in our passage this morning, memorializing the great works of God is foundational to our trust and belief in Him. As we see in the passage, Joshua had just crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Now, if you're not familiar with the story of the Israelites in Egypt, we see in Exodus that they are in Egypt because of some events that had happened during the book of Genesis. They are in slavery. A man named Moses is brought up by God, raised up by God in order to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. They wandered the desert for decades. The Lord leads them through the desert, and eventually they arrive at the Promised Land. But because of a sin that Moses had done in not listening to God's commandment, he is forbidden from passing over into the Promised Land. So he dies at the River of Jordan. So here in chapter 4, what we see is the crossing over of the Israelites into this new land that was promised to them. And here in this passage, God commands Joshua to begin the process of setting up 12 stones pulled from the river that they had just crossed. Now, as you may know, the nation of Israel was divided into 12 tribes. Thus, each of the 12 stones symbolized each tribe. And this is made more evident by the fact that the Lord commands Joshua to take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man. 12 stones, 12 tribes, symbolism is pretty obvious. They are told to pass by the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan. The Ark of the Covenant is considered the footstool of the Lord, and within it lies three items: the tablets on which the Ten Commandments are etched, Aaron's staff, Aaron the brother of Moses' staff, and a portion of the manna that they ate in the wilderness. The Ark at this time in Israelite history is the most important holy object. Merely touching it can cause immediate death, as happens in 2 Samuel 6, which says, "And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error, and he died there beside the Ark of God." Joshua, in this story, in this account, sets up the reason for this memorial, these 12 stones being set up in the Jordan, in verses 6 through 7. He says, "When your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." Afterwards, the people appointed get to work gathering the stones and placing them in the right position. And the text finishes by saying, "And they are there to this day." This story is but one account of a variety that we could point to regarding the memorializing of God's great acts towards His people. We could also look at Genesis 9, verses 12 through 17, where God sets up the rainbow as a reminder that he will never send a global flood to judge the earth again. Or 1 Samuel 7:12, where the prophet Samuel set up a stone called Ebenezer, Hebrew for stone of help, as a memorial to God saving the Israelites from the hands of the Philistines. Or the creation of the Feast of Purim on account of Esther saving the Jewish people from destruction at the hands of their enemies in Persia. Now, even outside of signs and feasts set up for the remembrance of certain actions of God in salvation history, God himself says that he remembers his own promises towards his people so that he withholds judgment upon them. Think of God remembering Noah in Genesis 8:1. It says, "But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided." Or his promise to Abraham in Genesis 19:29. "So it was, when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived." Or God's remembering of our own lowliness in Psalm 136:23. "It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever." Or, most beautifully, his promise to not remember the sins of his people in Jeremiah 31:34. "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Essentially, there is one thing that we celebrate each Sunday that is the memorial of all memorials, a remembrance instituted by God himself, confirmed in the shedding of his own blood. What is that event? Anyone know what that event is? What that thing, what you do every Sunday is? Easter's good, but I'm thinking of a every Sunday occurrence. It's going to happen a little later. Lord's Supper. How about that? Sorry. Lord's Supper. Yes, it's the taking of the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 says, "Do this," that is the taking of the cup and the bread, "as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The very act of taking the cup and the bread is both a reminder of past grace that is given to us in the death of the Lord Jesus and a proclamation of God's future grace in his coming again to redeem us from this present evil age. Now, there are 100 sermons I could preach on the Lord's Supper, but we will leave that there for a moment. To look at another piece of World War II media, because it is Memorial Day weekend and I can do that. Schindler's List is a Steven Spielberg movie about a German businessman who finds ways to incorporate Jews into his business as essential workers in order to keep them from being murdered by the Nazi regime in the concentration camps. As an aside, Whitney and I last year had the opportunity to go to Europe and visit a number of different countries there while I was there for work. And we went to the Dachau concentration camp. And let me tell you, it is one thing to hear about these things. It is another thing wholeheartedly to experience them and be there, especially as we pass through the middle of the incinerators in which the bodies of the recently murdered Jews would have been incinerated. That is something. But at the end of this movie, the survivors of the horrors of Nazism and their descendants visit the real-life grave of Oskar Schindler in order to place little stones on his grave, recognizing and memorializing him and his work in preserving their lives and their futures. As I said, this is a brief message this morning. So this morning, as we close, I would encourage you to take a few moments this weekend during Memorial Day, between grilling out if you can, because it's going to rain, and visiting fun places to consider the kindness of God towards you in both the good times and the bad. To continue the image of Joshua setting up stones to remember God's work in bringing the Israelites across the Jordan, what are tangible ways that you can remember God's goodness towards you? Maybe it is setting apart times in your day or week to simply thank God for particular instances of what He has done for you. Maybe it is placing something in your home that when you look on it, you remember to thank God for who He is and what He has done. The writer C.S. Lewis once said that a pleasure is full grown only when it is remembered. I pray that we would remember the goodness of God in Christ towards us in His giving of Himself on the cross for our sins this Memorial Day weekend. Let's pray. Father God, we're thankful for who You are towards us in Christ. Father, I pray that we would never forget the fact that You gave Your only Son up for our sins. That even though we were unworthy, You found us worthy in Christ. So Lord, I pray that we would always remember who You are, that we would look outwards towards You, and that we would maybe establish times and things that would continue to draw us towards Yourself. Whether that is a small item, whether that is a repetition of times of prayer, Father, I just pray that we are always thankful and that we always remember You. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.